We're in Shmuel Aleph. We're learning Perek Dalet. We're up to Pasuk Yud. It's page 32 in our packets. Pasuk Yud, where it says Vayilochamu Plishtim. So this Perek.
What Pasuk?
Page 32, Pasuk Yud. Vayilochamu Plishtim. So up until this point, at least in this Perek, we found that the Bnei Yisrael were fighting against the Plishtim. Unfortunately, the Bnei Yisrael were losing terribly. And because of that, the Bnei Yisrael felt, you know what, we have a good idea. Let's bring the Aron into the battlefield. And yeah, this way Hashem will assist us in battle and will certainly win. And we saw the last Pesuk in Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, that the Plishtim, upon seeing this whole episode about this Aron being brought, which has never really been done before, they knew that they were going to lose. The Plishtim. There's no way we're going to win. We're going to die. But the last Pasuk that we saw, Pasuk Tes said that they were trying to encourage the people that at least let's go. At least let us die. But we'll die as men. We'll die with dignity. Which meant, as we saw,
We'll die in battle.
We're not going to win. Because if they're going to bring the Aron Hashem and God's going to be in the battle, there's no way we can possibly beat them. No matter how many how much more numerous we are than they. So, but nonetheless, let's fight them anyway. Now they're going to now witness that for some reason they are victorious. And we saw already last time that they made mistakes. They shouldn't have brought the Aron. They didn't necessarily ask properly before they did so. And the whole purpose of the Aron is Hashem wishes for us to be victorious only in the event that we are acting properly. But unfortunately, because of the way the Chofni and Pinchas conducted themselves in Shiloh, so Hashem doesn't really have any need to have to take care of us because we didn't show respect to Him. So Pasuk Yud, V'yilchamu Plishtim V'nagef Yisrael. So the Plishtim fought against the Bnei Yisrael and they were able to smite the Jewish people via Nusu Ish L'Ohalav. And each man ran to their tents. Vatehi hamaki gadol ma'od. And there was a tremendous amount of people that died, a tremendous maka. So we see that the pasuk first says v'yinagef Yisrael. So they were losing. Bnei Yisrael losing.
The slaughter was great.
When was the slaughter? It was v'yanusu ish l'ohalav. That once you are no longer together,
they retreated.
That was the time in which they were able to get them. As long as we were strong together, okay, we were losing. But it became a Maki Gadol Ma'od when we started.
It went his own way.
Right, to his own tent.
But that happens to be classical for the battles of those times. The army that stayed fighting and didn't turn, once an army turned its back, they were totally defenseless. When they were holding their spears and their shields, it was hard to kill them. And once they turned their back, that was the battle
right.
was over.
So this is what we see here. V'yipol Mi'Yisrael Shloshim Elef Ragli. And it says that there were 30,000 people that died on this day. So it was obviously a terrible tragedy. Tremendous amount of people. And as we mentioned before, 30,000 soldiers in a world where there's billions of people, that's a tragedy. But when we're dealing with 30,000 over here, with a much smaller number, as we can imagine, that number is magnified. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Aron Elukim Nilkach. So in addition to killing so many of the Jewish people, they also took the Aron.
They captured it, right.
Ushnei v'nei Eli Mesu Chafni u'Pinchas. And the two children, if we forgot what their names were, Chafni and Pinchas, they were slaughtered. They were killed because that was the whole purpose, as we said. One of the reasons why the Aron was brought ultimately was so that Chafni and Pinchas would die on the battlefield. Because Chafni and Pinchas were not soldiers. They worked in the Mishkan. They worked with the Aron. So the fact that the Aron was being brought into the battlefield, that was the way, that was the mechanism to get Chafni and Pinchas onto the battlefield and for them to ultimately die on the same day, which is the Nevuah that Shmuel received from Hashem.
Okay. It says that Eli had more than two sons.
That's why I mentioned this too.
Because otherwise it would have, because we know. Right, because why does it have to say Bnei Eli Chafni u'Pinchas?
To make sure you know them.
It's
maybe you have other children. Unless there's,
it could be. Right.
He must have recognized there were other children.
Right. It's
sons.
It's right.
Actually, not children, just sons.
Right. We don't really, we don't find them, but that maybe because they...
Could have daughters, right?
No, right. Shnei
B'nei Ed. Two
B'nei
sons of Ed.
So
the daughters may have been saved. The daughters didn't die yet. The daughters may have...
No, but then but he repeats their names.
So he
says two
the
sons
name.
And repeats the names of the
so it wasn't, the, wasn't any other sons.
It must have been somebody. I, you would imagine. Either says, could you call me, you know, that they all died. But then all Loshen is, you know...
Wouldn't they have become, who becomes Kohen HaGadol after this?
Well, we're going to see that unfortunately Shiloh is
tremendous.
I'm in real trouble. we're going to see that in addition to Aaron being taken, when Eli finds out about this, in this parak, he's going to die, and the whole, everything is basically shattered.
So they move the Mishkan from Shiloh then? Is that this time?
Shiloh's going to be...
Shiloh is much later. Not much, yeah, but the Beis Hamikdash right now is still in Shiloh. Eli was in Shiloh. The Mishkan, right.
But David HaMelech moved the Mishkan from Shiloh to Yerushalayim.
No, but I
without having the Beis Hamikdash.
There were two steps before that.
Right. It was to they went somewhere else.
It wasn't
Gibeon.
Well,
when he takes over the kingdom, moves the Mishkan to Yerushalayim.
Yes, back to Shiloh. There were two other steps.
And they're not far away, but there it is. It certainly wasn't. Was nothing to Yerushalayim. Was nothing to be something.
You have to keep coming back to find out.
All right.
So, so that's certainly. It seems redundant. That's for sure. Unless you want to say, as we said before, that B'nai Eli Mesu Chafi and Pinchas, that we're trying to connect them back to Eli as though like Eli's also responsible, maybe on some level as well.
Either that, or possibly. You could say, or you could say you could give credit to Chafni and Pinchas.
Yes.
That Chafni and Pinchas tried to protect the Aron Hashem. What? It was captured, and how come they didn't protect it?
Right.
They were killed.
Right. So in other words, otherwise they would have ran away. So.
Otherwise. Maybe. They would have ran away. They
right.
didn't run away. Everybody else ran away.
Right. So it shows
they stuck with the army.
Right. So that's a positive spin. But that's fine.
That was their income also.
That was their income. Well, I was going to say that too.
That's true. They want to let go of that.
Okay, all right.
Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayaratz Ish Binyamin. So there was some person, which you're going to see eventually in Rashi, who this person was. But the Pasuk never defines who this is. So it was a man who came from Sheva Binyamin, and he was running, Mehamaracha, from the battlefield. Yep. V'yavo Shiloh b'yomahu. And he went, as we saw, to Shiloh. U'madav k'ruim v'adam al rosha. We'll see that in Rashi in a second. Ma'adav says, Mesuda Sion malvushav. So his garments were torn, and his head was filled with dirt. So you can imagine, he was running around, rolling around, he was probably wrestling with the Plishtim, fighting the Plishtim. So in the process, maybe some swords ripped his garments, maybe in the process, while he's wrestling around, he got all dirty. But of course, you can hear those words, it doesn't sound like it's just a battlefield, but it's trying to define, as Mesudas David does, Derech Tsar Vavelus. That was a form of...
He rent his own clothing and
right.
dirt on his head.
Exactly. So, this is what he did. He ran. Now, if you look on the map, our map, in our packet, it gives us a little, and there's a lot of the Mefarshim deal with this, and for those who have ever wished to run a marathon, apparently, this was even further. So, if you see where, in this map, where the battle occurred, and then the Bnei Israel dispersing in all different directions, and then Shiloh, which is all the way on the east or the right side of our map, so you can see it's a tremendous distance. On the bottom left, it shows in terms of miles. Some say that he actually ran 42 miles that day to Shiloh. It's different Mefarshim exactly how far it was, but certainly this person ran a very far distance. So that we can certainly agree with by just looking at the map where Shiloh is located.
5 miles an hour. That'll
This is only half the map. If you get eight miles to this, look at the measure. How wide is Eretz Israel? How wide? At that point, this is the widest part of Israel.
40 miles.
Sure, could be.
What are you talking about? What's the distance from? What's the different distance from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim?
I don't know.
An hour drive, right?
30 some miles.
More than that.
I don't think it's more than 30
some miles. Yeah, but that's through the mountains.
Through the mountains. So maybe 30 some miles, right?
Maybe.
That's the furthest point. So this is in the west. This is on the west bank of.
I should put my.
You see where Shiloh goes south?
But which Shiloh here is not the Shiloh that you're talking about on the map. First of all,
it is.
I have a biblical map.
Yes, believe me, it is. Tapuach is still there. If you take Shiloh from here, go straight south, you can get to Yerushalayim.
I'm going to get an atlas from the library.
You don't need an atlas.
We believe you.
You don't have to do that.
So you're feeling that it's...
First of all, 42 miles for a soldier to do, have to take him more than... 40 miles is a tremendous amount for a soldier battle to us.
Where's he going?
Correct.
Where's he capturing?
You're talking about almost... According to the measurement, more or less, you're talking about 50 miles from Shiloh, from Yaffa to Shiloh.
The battle was further in. The battle was a good 16 miles. He ran 30 miles.
I'm not looking at the
he's talking the distance
at the distance between the Mediterranean and Yafo.
And he has to be on that day because it says Bayom Ahuv.
This is four times. It's 32 miles.
Now, by the way, this is not the most accurate map in the world either. I took this from Yafo
to Shiloh, from one end of Eretz Yisrael, the width of Eretz Yisrael.
This map is not the scale.
I've seen it on a biblical atlas.
Okay, I'm just telling you, according to this map, it's 50 miles. Okay,
then argue with the map.
Yeah, so again, this map is not necessarily accurate.
It's art scroll.
I'm just telling you, according to this, the width of from the Mediterranean to Shiloh is 50 miles. And Eretz Yisrael is not today 50 miles wide. At this widest point, it's not 50 miles.
That's what the Shiloh should be on the left of the word Israel.
You seem to hike. You look fine. I have no problem. I'm just telling you, by the way, it's right here.
I'm also wondering if perhaps then maybe there was rocky terrain or mountains, so it wasn't necessarily straight, so it could have been miles. I'm saying so that would maybe equal the mileage, even though a straight line it may not be, but maybe. So maybe all the ups and downs equal.
He's not wearing battle dress. This guy's in battle dress.
He's not in battle dress.
And he's a deserter.
All right. Okay. So, fine. Let's continue by looking in Rashi. Maybe Rashi will help us out a little bit. Who was this gentleman? Who's this Ish Ben Yomin? So Rashi says, Zehoya Sha'ol. He's not the king yet, so maybe that's the reason why he's not identified at all over here. He's just a person. Throughout the rest of this parak, he's called numerous things, but he's never called by his actual name. Rashi feels that this was actually Shaul, Shechotav es haluchos miagolius uvarachlo. So it wasn't only that maybe he was wearing his battle gear, He was also carrying the luchos. You can imagine running with the luchos.
So he was the one that
so when they grabbed them.
He was able to save them from the mission. Because the luchos were in
the Aron.
Right.
So why did he took them out of the Aron?
Apparently so. That's what it seemed.
How was he allowed to approach the Aron to take them out?
He
was probably given to save them.
They saw what was going to happen.
They gave it to him for safekeeping.
He may have just done it himself.
The Aron was empty at this point?
Christians were coming. The Jews were running away. There was nobody defending
him. Yeah, but they captured the Aron.
He couldn't take everything.
So he grabbed what he could.
I don't know where Rashi got this from.
So let's look in the Radak. The Radak over here is also going to bring this down. So the Radak tells us where Rashi got it from. Piyarati Ish Bin Yama, the second wide line. Darshan was the Medr Shmuel. Shehu Hoya Sha'ol Ben Kish. Shechatav Haluchos Biad Goyos HaPlishti Yuvarachlo. Add just a couple more words. So he grabbed it away from the hands of Goliath, who was holding on to it. So the Plishtim already had the Aron, according to this, and that Goliath actually was holding onto the Luchos, and he ripped them out of his hands, is what it sounds like. Verachaku. So that's really a little far out, says the Radak. Shehotzi Adamas Luchos Mia Aron. That a person took Luchos out from the Aron. Sharikama Negoyim Vekama Ra'os Bo LePlishtim. A lot of tragedies, as we're going to see, a mistake that the Plishtim made by taking and capturing the Aron and bringing it back to their land, they're going to have a lot of problems to the point that they end up just giving the Aron back to the Jewish people because they're just not interested in having it anymore because of all the plagues. The Kedushas Aron Biyoso Beretz Plishtim Levad. Just the fact that it was just in their land, just the fact that it was not in Jewish hands, all these plagues will occur, as we'll see. So Kol Shekein Im Shochu Yad Bo. All the more so if someone was grabbing hold onto it, if you were touching it. Kigam Anshi Beishemesh Shehoyu Yisraelim Mesu Kamim Mehem Ki Ro'o Ba'aron Hashem. We'll see later on in the sixth parak, says the Radak, that people who even just looked at the Aron where they shouldn't have looked at the Aron were punished. And therefore, for this reason, the Radak says it's kind of far-fetched to believe that this is what happened. Now,
where does Rashi take it from? How does it come up with it?
It doesn't come up with it. Well, he doesn't say where Rashi got it.
The Medr Shmuel. It's a quote from the Medr
Shmuel.
That's what the Radak. So the Radak quotes the Medr Shmuel. The Radak doesn't like that Medrash, because how could a person be hold? How?
Can I
even look at it? I don't like that Medrash.
So what's the point of the Radak is not how could Shaul be holding on to it. The question is because he only grabbed it out of his hands.
He only took it out of Goliath's.
Right.
He didn't take it from the Ark.
I think the Radak, what was bothering the Radak is how was Goliath able to grab hold of it.
The second that Goliath
held on to it, Goliath should have died.
Right.
So that when Shaul took it, it doesn't make sense that Goliath is still alive.
But there's no reference at all when it makes the begging number from Yiddish. But there's no reference at all any place that the Luchos were after the Aron or that they...
How do we know that they still have the Luchos? How do we know that the Jews still have the Luchos?
Because the Luchos were in the Aron. How do we know...
that the Luchos remain with the Jews after the battle. No. Okay, I'm saying, you don't.
So we don't.
Rashi, this is the Medrash.
Okay. He's quoting the Medrash.
But there's nothing to show later on that the Luchos were still with the Jews.
We don't ever find anything before this that the Luchos were ever taken away. So it stands to reason that we still have them.
The Luchos would have been taken away because they were inside the Aron. So they had to have been taken away.
But right now, you're saying.
Yeah. What's bothering the Radak is whenever anybody got near the Aron, they got sick. How could Goliath hold on to the Luchos?
Right. That's why it's hard, that's why
he doesn't accept that old man.
So why is he running to Shiloh? So maybe he's running to Shiloh to tell Eli that his kids died, possibly. Otherwise, it makes sense that if you grab hold to the Luchos, what is he going to do with them?
He's going back to Shiloh to report on the battle.
To report on the battle, right.
Not necessarily, or tell Eli
that his two sons are dead.
Right.
And the reason he's wearing sackcloth.
He went back to Eli to tell him.
Because of the loss of the
Aron. They got the Aron, you're out of business.
That's why he was wearing, sack, basically. basically his clothing was cut, and he's putting dirt on his body. Right. It's a sign of mourning.
Right. So, and that this is what the Rashi brings down, and for some reason this is how he explains the Radakas and is excited about it. All right.
I'm ignoring it.
So am I.
I'm not.
Pasuk Gimel.
If somebody told me to you put away from you, you hear this guy over there.
As long as my tape recorder doesn't pick it up. Pasuk Gimel. V'yavol v'hini eli yoshev al kisei. So he ran, however he ran, was he running with the luchos, without the luchos? But certainly he was going, as the Pasuk says to Shiloh. V'yavol v'hini eli yoshev al kisei. Whatever that is. Yach, yad, which is the proper way of reading. Derech. Derech Matzapa. So Eli, we're going to discuss the Karinic Siv in seconds. Actually, brought down the Psukim in the Meforshim. So he ran toward Eli, and Eli was there sitting Al Kisei. He was sitting in his chair, his throne, his seat rather, next to the road. Matzapa, anticipating, waiting to see what was going to happen. It's interesting. Next few words, Ki Hayalibo Charin, because he was very afraid. What was he concerned about? What was distressing him? Al Aron Elokim. He was worried about the Aron. Was he worried about his two lovely sons, Chofni and Pinchas? Apparently not. He was concerned Al Aron Elokim. We'll discuss that. Ba'ishba lahagid ba'ir batizak kol ir. So instead of him going directly to Eli with this unbelievably terrible news, he first decides to
tell the people.
And once the people hear about it, and once maybe Eli is hearing this from afar, maybe it will already start sinking in that something may have happened, something terrible may have happened, but it's all gradual. As opposed to just going right up to Eli and telling the terrible news, let him hear from afar, let him wonder, and then ultimately spring the news upon him. And that's what we're going to see. Also, the way that he delivers the news, specifically he does it from one level to a more severe, more painful level. So, okay. If we look now in the Radak says Pasuk Yud Gimel, which goes back to the previous page 32 on the bottom, Yad Derech Metzapa. So the Radak picks up on this Kri because it says Yoshev Al Kisei Yach, right? Yach Ksiv Yach Kloimer Shehoyel Libo. Makoso. So why does it say Yach when it was really that he was Yad Derech? He was on the side of the road. So the Radak says that the reason why it was a Yach, a hit or a strike or a pound, is to mention Shoyalibo Makoso, that his heart was pounding. His heart was pounding. Umafahid al Aron Velkim Shiatsa. And he was worried about the Aron that had left, because he knew that the Aron who left could possibly help the Jewish people, or it could cause a whole lot more problems. So that's the reason why it says the word Yach as opposed to Yad, because Yach means to pound or to hit something. But it means his heart was pounding and kept thumping rapidly. And if we jump to the next line in the Radak, in the second to last line on page 32, Kolomer Shahaya Yoshev Al Kisei. He was sitting in his chair. So this way you could see
who's coming,
right? This way he was anticipating and then ultimately hoping to find out what was going to happen. But it's interesting.
Right. That was
for the Aron Elokim, which is what the Pasuk says.
His sons had to be pretty old in any case.
We're going to see in a couple of seconds how old Eli was.
Yeah,
Eli's going to be 98.
He's almost 100
years old. That's true. Yeah. Now, in addition to this, apparently, why was he afraid of the Aron? Why wasn't he afraid of his own children?
Because the people, 30,000 people.
Other people, right. So at least when the people, I'm not sure about, but the Ralbag, he says over here, is that he already knew through a Nevuah that his children were going to die. He knew that his children were going to die at this war. He knew it was going to happen. And therefore, that he had nothing to worry about. Because it was, he knew it was going to happen. What can you do? You can't change it. But the Aron, who knows? Because the Aron, you're right, 30,000 people could die. if it's not treated properly, and that's what he was afraid of. That's what concerned him the most. Let's continue with Pasuk Yudal. We're on top of page 34. Pasuk Yudal, it says as follows: V'yishma Eli es kol hatzaaka. So Eli heard a very loud voice from afar. Vayomer, and he said, Mekol ha'amon. I said, what is that noise? I hear something very loud from the Hamon. It's Mr. Desion, Ha'am Rav, from a lot. Everyone is talking. Yeah, about Ish. Mihar v'yavav v'yagil Eli. So who came? Again, doesn't mention the guy's name. Doesn't mention Shaul's name. The man hurried, and he went and told Eli. So let's see one more pasuk. Eli ben Tisha Mushmona Shana. Here the pasuk says
he was 98.
The ain of Kama v'loyach liros. It's because of his age he had difficulty seeing. So therefore, that kind of explains this whole sequence of events. Is that why was he asking what's going on? I mean, he could only hear what was going on. He couldn't see.
Yeah, but it says here. Then you have difficulty with the pasuk before.
What's that?
Because he said
he's watching, but that doesn't mean he could see.
He was watching the road.
Okay. And if Patterson was sitting on his chair watching the road, what would he see? He'd see movement. The man was partially blind, so he may have seen shadows.
Yeah, it could be that. He could also...
He may have been looking for a large group of people returning, all the soldiers.
Could be, like, even if let's say he couldn't see at all, but you could still wait, and someone would see Ailey, who happened to be blind, people would come up to him and tell him, you know?
He's still able to see, he couldn't see well.
So obviously he didn't see Shaul coming up either.
Probably not.
He was watching the road, he didn't see Shaul, he was an English person.
That's right, he couldn't see a single person.
So Shaul went into town to tell the people, and he heard the old people from the town, so then he reacted.
It's not clear whether or not he did not have good eyesight or he couldn't see. I mean, the last three words in this pasuk says clearly "v'loyach liros," which literally means he couldn't see. Right? The question is, then what does it say above "v'einav kama"? Translated here, his eyes became motionless. So I'm not sure. It's not so clear. He certainly couldn't see well. The question is, could he not see at all? "V'loyach liros" seems like he couldn't see at all. But either way, all right. Let's continue. Pasuk Tazayin. "V'yomar ish." Eli. So now, again, maybe it's such terrible news, we don't even want to connect Shaul to this information. Therefore, it's Yomar Ish El Eli. Anochi haba min hamarach. So I just came from this battle, which you know everyone's there. V'ani min hamarach nosnasti hayom. It happened to be that I fled on this day from this battlefield, as a lot of people other did. So he said, no. So, me'ahaya hadavar b'ni. So, what is this thing that's going on? And Mesudas David says it a little bit better in the very top line. Mesudas David says, manasa b'amalcham. What happened in the war? It's interesting the word that he throws in, b'ni, my child. And he did that before. He also called Shmuel b'ni, even though it wasn't his child. So, certainly a lashon of chib, of affection. Bayan Hamavaser, still a little mention of his name. The Mavaser answers. The Mavaser, as the Mesudas Sion translates as Kol Hamasaper Chadoshos Bein Tov Bein Ra Nikra Mavaser. The one who tells news, whether it's good or bad, is called the Mavaser. The one who tells us.
Informant.
Yeah, an informant. Vayomer, this is what the person said. But it's interesting again how the psukim go out of its way to never mention the person's name. The Yomrin, he said, Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim, so they fled. V'gam magefa gadol ha'isaba'am. He didn't have the numbers, as was calculated, but he knew it was a magefa gadol. It was a terrible plague. Tremendous amount of Jews died. V'gam, so what is he doing? We're going to see that he's going gradually from one series of terrible tragedies to the next, but getting gradually worse. What information would he be most interested in finding out? His children. He wants to know what happened to his children. Are my children safe? So, there was a terrible amount of Jewish people that died. And then he says, by the way, I have some other bad news to share with you. And also, worse than that, two of your children died. Chafnu Finchas, which is very strange. Again, which that is very difficult to understand, which seems to be he had maybe more than two children on the battlefield, because it does it again, right? The father knows his kids' names, you know, even if we forgot them, but Eli knew them, so maybe he had other kids. The Aron Elokim Nilkacha. And by the way, there's something else. The Aron Elokim was taken. So on this, the Mishpatot Zahav points out that that again, it was done specifically in a specific order, that it was going from less gradual to more painful news. And the problem with this information is, what do we find? The order. His children died, and then, oh, by the way, the worst thing, even worse than your children dying, is that the Aron was taken, which is kind of hard to understand. Why would that be? But that's what we saw before, that what was he afraid of? And we saw in Pasuk Gimel, Ki'olib b'chored al Aron Elokim. He wasn't thinking about his kids. He was thinking about the Aron. And so the Mishpatot Zahav says that what's interesting is not only, let me just read, there's only a few lines, Gav HaMavaster Haven, even Shaul understood that Shepachos Chomor Be'eni Eli Misas Shnei Banav Melekichas Aron, that even Shaul, the informer, knew that the death of the two children was less in the eyes of Eli than the fact that the Aron was taken. It wasn't just that that was how he felt, but it was apparent that everyone knew that. Lekach, therefore, he says, Kishesiper Devarim Sidu Devarav Mihakal Elakavit. He goes from the less difficult information to the more painful. Dehikten Misa Shnei Banav Lekichas Aron. That's the order. So, and he says as follows, as it's brought down in Pasuk Yud Ches, it's going to say, we're going to see this, that as soon as Eli finds out that the Aron was captured, Vipo Mal Kisei Achronis, he's going to die. But that's what the Pasuk is going to say. When did he die? Not when he heard that his children died, or were killed on the battlefield, when he found out the Aron was taken, which is an interesting idea. But that was the approach of Eli. The question is that right or wrong? But something to think about.
Wouldn't this be the natural way if you're giving news, if you're telling, you know, there's a great battle, okay?
Yes.
A lot of people died, and amongst those people were your children. You wouldn't go ahead and say, your children died, it was a great battle. Okay? To me, this is the natural way that a person would tell things. I mean...
No, but the question is why the Aron is mentioned as it goes from bad to worse.
If you were bringing the information, how would you have told it? You're coming from the battlefield. How would you give this information?
I had good news when I got there.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd go ahead and say...
That's what you
was
called the Mabasa. The Mabasa.
How would you tell?
News and good news.
Okay.
There was a terrible battle.
Many people died. Amongst those people were your sons.
I mean, you're gonna notice while he's discussing the death of people, he discusses.
Yeah, you don't hit somebody when you tell you go ahead and talk to somebody and there are problems. You try to give some of the. You don't give the worst initially. You have to do it that way. This is the natural way of telling things.
The thing is that we mentioned Aaron last. So apparently Aaron was the biggest calamity of all three things. The battle loss, the son's loss, and the Aaron loss. That was the sequence that the Nath is telling us that
he could have mentioned that Aaron was captured, and then he said that this is the Kohen Gadol.
This is the Kohen Gadol.
I mean, give an explanation. Exactly
but I'm saying this would be a natural way that it would...
Let me tell you, I look at it, it was a big battle.
Right.
A lot of people got killed.
Right.
Your kids were killed.
Right.
The Aron was taken, you're out of business. That's what it means.
Okay, and then he died.
He's 98 years old, but he was out of business.
The death, you know, is basically what would you expect of a 98-year-old person hearing all this? This is also, I don't see this really being that much of a... the punishment was not that he died. The punishment was that he heard about all these terrible things and then he died. I don't think it would have been a punishment if he just died.
Right.
I think the punishment here
wait,
is...
Wait one second. Two, three psukim before, he's not worried about his sons. He's sitting by the road, by the side of the road,
right,
and he's concerned
about the battle.
He's concerned about the Orna.
Okay.
He says he's concerned about the Orna.
Okay.
That's what his palpitations are.
Because he was not, obviously,
he was not happy about the Orna being
brought
to battle.
He's concerned about
the Orna. His two boys said, look, we are going to be responsible to
them. He should have stood up to them.
He should have stood up to them. He should have stood up to them and said, no way, no way.
He messed up. So I really think...
But
he messed up. He was the Kohen
of the
Orna. He has responsibility for control of the Orna.
But the thing is, his biggest concern is what is happening to the Orna. What happened to his sons?
No.
That's second. It's his concern, but not his main concern is the Orna is out of Shiloh.
Right.
What is happening to the Orna? You forget. I mean, what did the Orna mean to
why did he let the Orna go? Why did
it took the Orna? Because they felt that the Orna
was questioning if he let it or not.
He had to let it go.
No, the two guys came over. They took it and got it. They sent for it. They sent. There was a delegation that went over there. They took
but
it.
But he's the Kohen Gadol.
So they may not have heard it. So he may say no.
There's no place here that says that he stood up to let them to stop them from taking the Orna.
He just took it.
There was a chance by taking the Orna that they would have won the war. Hashem would have joined.
But there was no indication of that.
Well, that's why they took the Orna, because they were hoping that they would win the war.
But
because they felt
who gave them authority to take the Orna?
They didn't ask the Torah. You're right.
But wouldn't there be something over here saying it's a very...
Does it say anywhere they asked for it?
That was one of their problems, actually. Yeah.
They didn't ask it. They took it.
They certainly didn't ask Hashem's permission.
Right.
That was
who's supposed to take the Orna anyway? Who's supposed to
the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be watching it.
Yeah, but who's supposed to take it from one place to the next? Who was taking the Orna?
They
went over there and said, we need the Orna because we're losing the battle. And they went, whoever it was, they grabbed it and they carried it away. He's standing there and says, what are you doing?
But his punishment is, part of he heard all these terrible things.
This is all part of the troop surge.
Punishment is?
No. Not because of this.
Yes.
What is his punishment?
His punishment was that he did not, as Kohen HaGadol,
he
should
did
have
not
stood up.
That's not the punishment. The punishment is because he told before, because he didn't say anything. What is the revelation to Shmuel? What is the revelation to Shmuel? Shmuel has got to go and tell him you're going to die.
Okay.
Why? Not because you're going to let the Orna go.
No, they took it.
Because your sons are
he
nobles,
didn't,
and
at that point,
and you're doing anything about
it.
No, but nothing to do with the Orna. He didn't die because he let the Orna go. He died because, according to the revelation...
Just
look at the text. The text.
I'm looking at the text.
No, you're not looking. The text tells you that Shmuel had a dream. What was the dream?
That Eli was going to die.
Because?
Because that he didn't step in when his sons...
Okay, perfect. That's it.
But listen to what I'm saying. At 98, that's no great thoughts.
But you're looking at this, you're looking at that. The pshat is simple. He was going to die regardless. If the Orna hadn't been taken away, he was going to die. If the Orna was taken away, he was going to die. There was a battle or not, he was going to die because he did not watch his kids.
But if he was a better person, I believe, I could be wrong, that he would have just died for those things.
Okay.
Here he's hearing all these terrible things.
Okay, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Because you have to listen to what the text tells you.
I mean, saying that he did something wrong too, he deserved to die, but he could have died...
Why didn't he just die upon hearing the news?
But he died because of his
fine.
Correct.
But add insult to injury,
he should have just died.
He had to hear all this stuff, and he falls backwards off a chair, and he bangs his head, and he dies.
Right. That's even more dying with the grief as opposed to dying a natural death.
He didn't just have a heart attack.
Right.
No, he falls backwards, bangs his head, and he dies.
So let's see.
Very often people,
But you don't fall backwards, you fall forward.
You see, the B'nai Eli also went with the Aron. They didn't. They were not in battle. They were not in battle until they came to take the Aron Hashem.
Right. That was we got the Aron there. And also that's how, more importantly, that was the way to get Chafni and Pinchas to get into the battlefield. Otherwise, how else are they going to die? So that's how they die. Let's continue. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayehi kehazkiru as Aron Elokim, which is pointed out. As soon as he found out that it was the Aron that was taken, so he fell backwards. Biad Yad Hashar, Shaver Marfakto, so he broke his neck. He almost died. Then it says Kizokin Ish, and also because he was older,
old and fat.
which basically, it sounds like someone who was healthier or younger could have withstood such a fall, right?
But he had so much weight on him.
Right. Who shafat as Israel or Boyim Shana? Just as a little side note, he was the 40 years, so which is going to be the same amount of time as David. It's going to be king. All right. So, okay, let's continue. Pasuk and test. In addition to Chafni, Pinchas, and now Eli dying, the Kolosso Eishes Pinchas Hara, Lolas. So the daughter-in-law, who was the wife of Pinchas, who just died, was about to Lolas. So says Masuda Sion, Ratzalomer Loledes Ubabichisaran Dalit. So it's missing a Dalit, and some say that she's going to give birth before her time, before she was supposed to. It was a preemie, if you will. And therefore, for that reason, that it misses the dalet, as though she wasn't to turn. That's how some explain. The Tishmas Hashmua, she heard this news. Now let's look at the order here. What was the order? El ha-lokach Aron Elokim. So for her, what was the least? It was the Aron being taken away. Umeis Chamiya, which maybe that should have been first, but not.
The Isha and
her husband. So her husband was last, because that was the most
tragedy.
Right. The Tichra Vateled ki Nehev Choleha Siraha. So she crouched down and she began to give birth because she was feeling the Sareha, as Mr. Nassim says, the Chavli Haleda, the pangs of birth, of childbirth. So she was. Kicking in.
Reading all this, that means Pinchas had to have been a younger person.
Why?
Okay? Well, because the wife is, I'm assuming this, the wife is pregnant. I'm assuming that, and it's an assumption.
Don't assume.
Okay, I realize.
Don't assume.
She could be much younger.
If he was younger, they were younger,
right.
That means Eli would have had other sons, and they already may have been dead. We don't know if they're dead or not.
So. At this point, you'd have to say that he had other sons.
Right.
They lived to a long age, to ripe old ages then, maybe. I don't know.
No, they didn't. Not then.
Okay, so, go ahead.
So that's what I'm saying. He was probably...
Eli was 98.
Eli was 98.
So Pinchas was
able to bear children.
Yes.
So how old... He was probably in that, again.
In the young
boy. What is the point?
Yeah. The point was that the children who don't, the boys, in other words, there were other children, they were probably older children, not younger children, because they would have been discussed.
Pinchas was one of the younger kids.
Right.
How do you know that?
Because if there was somebody even younger, wouldn't they be discussing who those children are now? Because they would be next in line to become Kohen Gadol. Who would be next in line to become Kohen Gadol?
Probably one of the old, the child.
It would have been a younger child.
Yeah.
There were no other younger children. But they would have told us here. They'd have to tell us here.
Yeah.
So it'd be a line of succession.
Yeah. Not here. Okay. So anyway, so she was having this birth, which she wasn't anticipating, but all the terrible news brought her into labor. Ukeis Musa, and then not only was everyone else dying, so she might as well die too. Ukeis Musa So she was dying.
She died in childbirth.
Yes. Ki bain yolad. So what did the woman say? We also find this in other places, I think by Binyamin also, when he was born. It says, Al Tiri, don't be afraid, don't worry. Ki bain yolad. You're giving birth to a son. It's like, so what? I'm about to die here. What do you mean, don't be afraid? But at least it means that you're having this continuity. But for her, she was not impressed. She did not take that to heart. And therefore, when she was about to die, moments from dying, Petikra Lanar E. Kavod. They decided to name this child E. Kavod, which is translated in English as Ichabod, which is the name, just how it's translated in English. Ichabod is E. Kavod. Lamor Gola Kavod Yisrael was exiled and removed the honor from Yisrael.
That's a great name for a kid.
E kavod. That's what Masuda Sion translates. E kavod is quote ain kavod.
No honor.
No honor. That's what Ichabod means.
Kid. Dishonorable kid.
Right. I don't get why anyone would call their child that.
But she was dead already.
For her, it makes sense.
Well, she named the child.
It makes sense for her because this is the one child. And how was Gola kavod Yisrael? El hilokach aron holkim vel chamiha v'isha. So. She at least again remembers that part of the issue is not just that her husband died and all these other people died, but also that the Aron was taken away. And therefore, when people will look at this child, they remember all the terrible tragedies that occurred on that particular day. That's what it was, including the death of his own mother. And then Kapasa concludes, as shall we, Batomer Gola Kovon Misrael. So she said again that the honor of Yisrael has been removed and exiled. Because the Aron was taken away. And let's see the Radak over here on page 36. So it's interesting you have, she said one thing, and right, Batikra was the pasuk before. Now, Batomer, so what happened? Right, so Kibitchil Amra, Gil Kavod. That the kavod was removed, Bavor Haaron Shanishba, Bavor Shemes Chamiya V'Yisha. So she originally said, what's the lack of honor? It's because of the people, not just the Aron, but the people. But now, Shaba, later on, V'Amr Bavor Haaron Levado Gola Kavod, Kihu Iker HaKavod. She realizes that it really was not her own relatives, because unfortunately her relatives... Unfortunately, we're not behaving properly. So therefore, the fact that they died was not necessarily a lack of kavod, or kavod which was taken away from Yisrael, but rather was the Aron and the Aron exclusively. We shall stop here.